Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I have selected for this afternoon's special service is actually Reverend Paul Rogel's confirmation verse from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. We read from Ephesians 2. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, our resurrected and triumphant Lord and Savior, dear fellow believers in Him, Paul and Jackie, Micah, Evan, and Abby Joy, welcome to Vancouver. Welcome to Canada. You're no doubt thrilled to be here, eh? I'm trying to break them in. In order to help you to adjust to living in this new culture, there's some facts I think you need to know about Canadians. For example, according to the Penguin Book of Canadian Jokes, did you know that a Canadian is someone who thinks of income tax refund as a gift from the government? Did you know that a Canadian is someone who apologizes for not being ready to order at a waiter's convenience? Did you know that a Canadian is someone who heartily proclaims, and this is especially true of us from Edmonton, sure it's 38 below, but it's a dry cold. Or did you know that a Canadian is someone who spends an inordinate amount of time trying to define what a Canadian is? Canadians are proud of their citizenship. Only a couple years ago, this city was transfixed by those who celebrated and observed the Olympics. Canadian flags were tattooed on people's cheeks, and streets and buildings, including the Richmond Center, were draped in huge red and white Canadian flags. The word Canada was emblazoned upon red and black hoodies, and impromptu flash mobs broke out with renditions of "O Canada." Most people are proud of their citizenship and culture. People love to wave their flag. They elevate their forefathers to folklore status. Their identity is tied to their homegrown language, their music, their arts, and sport. They delight in the accomplishments of fellow citizens. You know, people should be proud of their citizenship and culture. People should be proud of their culture and their country because our distinct languages and cultures are God's masterful way of creating this world. It's a wonderful mosaic that God has created. How much richer is our world because of the diversity of culture and language and people. But you know as well as I do that these differences often divide people. Self-centered people morph these differences into hostility and prejudice and racism. This was certainly the case in Paul's day. Jews despised Gentiles and Gentiles loathed Jews. Scores of Jews and Gentiles had been killed because of the hatred that they had for one another. And now in the Ephesian Christian church, deep-seated feelings of hostility, rooted in racial resentment and conflict, divided Christians. Would you agree? Would you agree that the walls of prejudice and racism divide Christians today? Granted, there are communication barriers because we speak different languages. There are cultural misunderstandings because we have different expectations. But do we think my culture is better than your culture? Are hostilities in our homeland dividing us fellow Christians in our new adopted country? Are we operating our congregations with the premise people should stick to their own kind? Are we allowing challenges of interacting with people of other cultures and languages to dictate our unwillingness to work with them? Are we simply evangelizing our own, or do we truly have a passion to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all people, no matter what their citizenship, no matter what their culture, no matter their language, no matter their religion, no matter their socioeconomic status? Let me state an obvious fact. Jewish blood flowed through Jesus' veins. At 8 days old, Jesus was presented at the temple, and he was circumcised like all other Jewish boys. He learned Hebrew and he attended synagogue school. The stories of how God's chosen people had conquered their enemies by God's powerful hands were rehearsed and celebrated by Jesus and his family. Jesus was well aware of his distinct cultural ethnicity and the differences that existed between Jew and Gentile. But these racial and cultural, linguistic and religious differences did not cause Jesus to be selective in whom he came to save. Simeon held the infant Christ child in his arms, and he sang, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Jesus knew that he was the Savior of all the peoples of the earth. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Again, Jesus said, "I have other sheep who are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to me, and there shall be one flock, and there will be one shepherd." And Jesus didn't just pay lip service to this teaching. He practiced what he preached. Jesus healed a Roman centurion's servant, and he said to that Roman centurion, "I tell you, I've never found such great faith in all of Israel." Jesus arranged a divine appointment at Jacob's well so he could meet with the Samaritan woman so he might proclaim to her that "I am the Messiah that you await." To a Canaanite woman, Jesus said, "Woman, you have such great faith. Your daughter will be healed of her demons." Thankfully, Jesus did more than simply heal the Roman centurion's servant or drive out the demon from the daughter of the Canaanite woman. He did more than simply witness to a Samaritan woman. He died for those Gentiles. He died for all Gentiles. And he died for all Jews. Have you heard about the 200,000 lost Canadians? These are people who think that they're Canadians, but they're without Canadian citizenship. Lost Canadians are people born in Canada between the years of 1947 and 1977, whose father took out citizenship in another country. And when their father took citizenship out in another country, his children, sons and daughters, lost their citizenship in Canada. It was revoked. These lost Canadians are often unaware of their status until they try to collect their old age pension or they try to get medical care when they move from one province to another. Then they discover that in the eyes of Canada, they are no longer citizens. Then they discover that they're excluded from Canadian citizenship and they're denied all the privileges and benefits of being a citizen of Canada. Verse 12 of our sermon text describes the situation of lost Gentiles. Paul tells us that as Gentiles, and that includes us, that we were separate from Christ. We were once excluded from citizenship in God's kingdom. We were without hope, and we were without God. Can you think of more disturbing and depressing words in the Bible than these? Think upon millions of people in this world who are lost, separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in God's kingdom, without hope, without God, because they've neither, maybe have not heard the message of the love of God in Christ Jesus, or they've heard it and they've rejected it. They are clueless to their lost state. When are they going to discover that they're separate from Christ? When are they going to learn that they are excluded from citizenship in God's kingdom, that they're denied the privileges and benefits of citizenship in His kingdom? I hope they don't make that discovery on Judgment Day. That's why there's a sense of urgency in Paul's words to the Romans when he says, "How are they to believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And the good news is this. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, He died for all people, Jew and Gentile. Paul says in our text, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." Elsewhere, St. Paul writes, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself." Because of His great love for Jews and Gentiles, Paul writes, "God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. You see, the dividing wall of hostility divided the nations of the world from God, all the peoples of the earth from God, has been destroyed. It's been destroyed when Christ was rejected by His Father and when He shed His blood on Calvary's cross for our sins. Jesus' death not only destroyed the walls of hostility between us and God, but His death also demolished the walls of hostility that divide people. And in the process, God created a new nation, a new family, one that transcends cultural and racial barriers, one that knows no difference between skin color. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, writes St. Paul. For there is one body, and there is one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. As I look out over this audience today, I can see that we come from diverse cultures. We speak a variety of different languages. But Christ's blood unites us all, one to another. We're no longer foreigners, but fellow citizens in God's kingdom. We're no longer divided into feuding clans, but united as brothers and sisters in the family of God. Christ is, as someone observed, the meeting point with God for all humanity. Prior to His ascension, Jesus gathered His followers together, and He said, and we heard these words in the Gospel reading for this morning, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus said to His disciples, your mission is to participate in my mission. The Apostle Paul was proud of his citizenship, his Roman citizenship, and also he was proud of his Jewish heritage. But he did not allow his ethnicity to serve as a barrier between him and those to whom he was sent. St. Paul writes, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, so as to win those not having the law. And to the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. In other words, St. Paul understood that his mission was to participate in Christ's mission of making disciples of all nations. Now, Paul, I'm sure you're proud to be an American. I know my wife is proud of her American heritage. George Washington and Abe Lincoln and Benjamin Franklin are some of your patriarchs. You can probably recite the Pledge of Allegiance in your sleep. And no doubt pride swells within you when you hear the Star-Spangled Banner or God Bless America. You've been raised by the creed that there's nothing more American than baseball, hot dogs, and mom's hot apple pie. Yes, amen. And Pastor will be really thankful for this next statement, too. And Paul, you're even a long-suffering Cubs fan. How American is that? Paul, your mission as missionary to Metro Vancouver is to participate in Christ's mission. You carry on Christ's work of sharing the gospel with all the nations of the world. In your person and in your work, you echo the words of St. Paul. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Paul, you're called and you're sent to proclaim the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only to fellow Americans that you can find living in this metropolis, but you're called and you're sent to proclaim the name of Jesus to English and French-speaking Canadians, to Koreans, to Chinese people, to Hispanic people, to the Sudanese, to the Ethiopian, to Sikhs, to Muslims, to Hindus, to Buddhists, to Mormons, to Jehovah's Witnesses, to secularists, to atheists, and to agnostics. You're sent to the rich and to the poor. You're sent to any group of people or any person who does not know or believe in Jesus as the Son of God, their Savior. And this is a daunting task. It might even seem like an impossible task. But Paul, you go with our prayers. You go with our promise and commitments. And I think I speak on behalf of all of us here and certainly our district. You go not only with our prayers, but you go with our support. You go with our promise that we will walk alongside of you and with you in order to proclaim the message of Jesus to the people of this beautiful city. You see, what is true of missionary Paul Rogel is really true for all of us. Our mission is to participate in Jesus' mission of making disciples of all nations. Through the blood of Christ, our King unites us as citizens in the same kingdom. Through the blood of Christ, our Father unites us together as brothers and sisters in one household. Through the blood of Christ, the Savior of all people calls and He sends each and every one of us, diverse as we are, for the common purpose of proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of all nations. Our Savior sends us to proclaim the good news to those who are near to us, that is, to people who share our culture, who share our language, who share our worldview. But He also sends us, each one of us, to people who are different than us, to cross cultural boundaries, to go to people of other languages and cultures and tell them the story of Jesus. So go, Paul. Go to the people who call metropolitan Vancouver their home and make disciples of all nations by telling them of God's love for them in Christ Jesus. And fellow citizens in God's kingdom, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is our privilege too, and it's our honor to participate in Jesus' mission. So I say to all of you, go. Go and make disciples of nations wherever you live. Amen. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.